Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
True or false? In our digital world, it can be tough to tell the difference between fact and fiction. Joining us now with some honest answers, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, good morning. It is hard to know what to believe. How do we navigate through all the junk?
Morning, Bob. Yeah. You know, there's so much we think we know, and then there's all the things we don't know. And then there's what we thought we knew, but we were wrong about. So I thought it would be useful to get to the bottom of what I like to call online myths.
Yeah, this sounds interesting. Why don't we start with online browsing in the incognito mode?
Yeah. This is one of the biggest myths that's out there, and that is using a browser's incognito or private mode, as it may be called, makes you completely anonymous online, where in reality, it does prevent your browsing history from being saved on your device, but your internet service provider and the websites that you visit can still track your activity.
So why does the incognito mode then always create a false sense of security?
I think that's because the name is flawed. I mean, by definition, incognito needs to have one's true identity concealed. And I think incognito mode does add an extra layer of privacy, but it's absolutely not truly private. And that's where the myth comes in. That if you go into incognito mode, you end up under some digital bubble of protection where you're invisible and invincible.
I don't think I'd know how to get into this mode. Is that a secret? Should I know that?
No, yes, I need to know it, but it's not really a secret. Usually when you press the plus button or something to open up a new window, you have an option to go to the private mode. But if you're just not used to doing it, you would probably just skip over that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's talk about that a little bit more, because isn't what you just described pretty much exactly what most people think, especially anyone who comments on social media?
It's a great point. I mean, somewhere along the way, even without incognito mode, people somewhere got the impression that they were free to say or do anything they want. But in reality, being online is extremely traceable by design, and any belief that what you do there is private is really just a fantasy.
Yeah, and that leads to another online myth. Let's talk about deleting things online.
This is a big one, Bob. I mean, a common myth is that if you delete something from the internet, it's gone forever. And in reality, once something is posted online, it can honestly be nearly impossible to completely erase it, because it also may have been saved or shared by others already.
Yeah, once it's out there, it's out there. And we've heard that too many times. What about reputation defenders that are advertised all the time? The companies that promise to help make your internet presence better and to clean it up?
Honestly, I see these as a mixed bag, because on one hand, I definitely think some of these businesses provide a valuable service, but I don't believe that any one company can be a saving grace. No one can come in and promise to remove your entire online history. So it's really important that you don't go in with too many expectations, because in many cases, what's actually being done is it isn't content so much being removed, but it's a combination of search engine optimization techniques and content creation that pushes those negative results down in the search ranking. So, in other words, if you saw something negative in a Google search about you 3 or 4 items down, you might then see it 20 items down after employing such a service, but they could still be there. Hmm. Now, for some, that's enough, because not everyone gets 20 levels down when they search, mm-hmm. but they'll absolutely, you know, still see something on the first page.
That's interesting. Let's move to hacking as a myth. The myth is anyone can be hacked. I would think that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Anyone can be hacked, and that's really important to come to grips with. So many people think it's untrue. Either that they're doing everything in their power to be protected, or more likely that it'll just never happen to them. But unfortunately, with so many things in life, we never think something can happen to us until it does.
Yeah, I think most of us have been hacked, and there are things we can do to prevent being a target. We've talked about those before. Maybe we should touch on that a bit.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely. I mean, strong passwords, number one. Use of touch ID or face ID, depending on the model of machine you're using. Two-factor authentication. Anything like that that gives you a leg up is a deterrent to a potential hack. But remember, a strong password alone is not enough to keep a determined hacker away. But the more educated you are, the more protected you are.
And we are continuing now with our weekly Tuesday session with digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. And we're talking about hacking. And something I've always wondered, Scott, why do these people want to hack me or anybody else?
You know, strangely enough, Bob, that's actually an easy question. The answer is because they can. And it's not because, you know, you're famous and you have all of this access, but it's because you refuse to believe that this could happen to you. And if you combine that with people's propensity to use weak passwords like we were talking about, you're inviting trouble. Some people don't even employ the most common security settings on their home Wi-Fi router. Now, is someone likely to drive around your neighborhood looking for unprotected networks? Likely, no. But is it possible? Absolutely.
Yeah, and we're talking about myths today, so we should talk about public Wi-Fi, and there is a connection here, isn't there?
Oh, yes, for sure. Public Wi-Fi is an excellent example of an online myth because public Wi-Fi networks in general are not safe. To be fair, there can be secure public networks, not saying that, but the majority of them are not secure. I would never access my credit card account or my bank account on a public network. So that means in my local coffee shop or at an airport, to do that, you'd want to use a VPN, a virtual private network, which helps to mask things or potentially access to a hotspot like from your wireless company. But even then, I'd rather err on the side of caution when it comes to what I access where.
Well, we covered a lot this morning. You want to summarize the overall message?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, there is definitely a lot, but it all boils down to a really healthy dose of skepticism and common sense. So if we go through what we just talked about, you're not in imminent danger of being hacked, but you could be if you take all of this with a grain of salt. You shouldn't post something in incognito mode because you think that puts you inside a protective bubble. You shouldn't post something on social media, take it down, and assume because you took it down that no one has access to it. And you shouldn't assume that clearing your browser history in a coffee shop makes everything you just did, you know, completely between you and your computer. You know, you can do one of all of those things and nothing may ever happen. But knowing that the chances of something happening as a result are not zero, to me, that's enough to take the necessary precautions and make changes where you can to avoid future trouble.
Yeah, but it is hard to get people to change their thinking, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, Bob, sometimes I wish I had access to time travel because everything starts somewhere. I think the concept of an online myth can be traced back to the earliest days of the Internet. That old adage, just because it's online doesn't make it true. I think about all the ways that statement impacts us.
Yeah. Don't most people realize that's no longer the case, what you're talking about?
I want to believe that, Bob, but then I see how misinformation and disinformation have completely infiltrated the Internet, how people spend time and energy trying to plant disinformation, how people don't take a few seconds to fact check and contribute to the scourge of misinformation that's out there, and how all of this contributes to our overall habits. You know, when you research incognito mode, there are more articles saying things that are untrue about it than articles that explain it correctly like we just did. And that's the power of misinformation. While we've come to associate that with things more recently like politics and health, it's really everywhere. So this healthy dose of skepticism we talked about, that really matters more than ever.
Yeah. All right. And I guess and you've said this many times, if you're unsure, Google, right? Just Google it. That's a good way to get out of this, isn't it?
That's a really good way. And also, you have to also remember that no search result is guaranteed to be correct. But
right.
Googling can provide a sense of scale. So, you know, Googling it can help you see if other people have the same question. so you're more likely to get a useful answer.
All right, let's get to our Genius Bar question for Scott Kleinberg. I got locked out of my phone a few months ago, had to do a factory reset for some reason. My girlfriend gets all my contacts and calendar events now. We are on the same phone plan. Any advice?
Well, this is a difficult one without physically holding your phone in my hand to see why it's doing that. But here's what I would say. If you're on the same plan, you would have different phone numbers. So I don't see how it could be possible where different phone numbers could bring up the same thing. But what is possible is when you factory reset it and something came back from your downloads, you might be logged into the same account as the other person. So you may be logged into the same Google account. You may be logged into the same iCloud account. If you're logged into the same account on two different iPhones, for example, this would happen. So what I would do first is I would go under settings on both phones. I would sign out of whatever account you're in. I can't tell if it's iCloud or if it's a Google account or whatever the case may be. And then sign in again. Assuming you have separate accounts on the two separate phones, it shouldn't continue to happen. Now, if you have the same account and you're sharing it on two phones, then that's more likely to happen and is probably more by design than anything else. You want to separate those accounts so you can't have that happen.
Scott Kleinberg, digital media strategist. Appreciate the answers. You have a good week, Scott.
You too, Bob. Take care.